drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, also on 100.3 HD2, and don't forget you can take us on the go with the ESPN Chicago app. It is the final CDGA Golf Show of the year. Can't believe we're already at this point, Mike, but it has been a wonderful year of talking golf with you all season long, and hey, we've got a President's Cup that is taking place as we speak. We'll get an update on that from our guy Kevin Zipak in just a little bit, who's producing today's show. But boy,
it hasn't started out good.
Yeah, for the people who wanted this thing to be competitive, Thursday was not the best day for you as the U.S. took all 5 points. Tony Finau and Xander Schauffele took theirs. Scottie Scheffler and Russell Henley. This was a kind of surprising pairing
by
Jim Furyk, putting them together. He kind of broke up all the friendships here. No Cantlay and Schauffele together, no Scheffler and Sam Burns together. So everything was sort of split up here. But, hey, it worked. They go 5 for 5 on claiming points on Thursday. And Scottie Scheffler with the more dominant of the efforts alongside Russell Henley with a 3-2. Patrick Cantlay and Sam Burns go 2-1 on Hideki Matsuyama and Corey Connors. But this is not the start that you want. And I'm sure the folks at Medina maybe not too happy with the way this is going, because they're hosting the event when it rolls around to the Chicagoland area in 2026, and they better hope for a little bit more of a competitive event when we get there.
There's no question about that. I'm sure when Joey Chitwood, the tournament director over there, put his marketing plan together, it was not a 5-0 start up in Canada. Because, like we've talked about, I think this, for this set of matches to become what the Ryder Cup is, it's going to require the international team to start winning and be more competitive. And this, as far as a start, is the worst possible scenario you could ever ask for, until I heard the press conference from Mike Weir when he said he's sticking with his plan. Hey, Captain, the ship is sinking. So I don't know that sticking to the plan is really the right call. And shockingly, he even surprised us even more by sitting the guy that I thought was going to be your big leader, Tom Kim, especially after what went on yesterday.
Yeah.
So the whole thing has me very perplexed at this point.
You know, speaking of Tom Kim, I wanted to get to something that we saw from Thursday, and it was Scottie Scheffler showing some emotion and little barking that dog now. This is not the Scottie that we've been used to, we've been accustomed to, that quite frankly, I think anybody knew was in him, but I don't know. So for those who don't know, Tom Kim sank a putt, sizable putt, and then Scottie Scheffler matched him and started barking at, like, just
but
yelling
Tom
at
Kim,
him.
But
and Tom,
Tom
yeah.
Kim got tried to get the crowd going, though.
Right. That is,
that's
yes.
what got this started.
And Scottie kind of gave him a little take that on the backside there, and boy, like, something about when he got arrested has unleashed a different beast in Scottie Scheffler, because we've seen him go out and, I don't know, he's kind of like shown a little bit of personality to him. Not that, I would say the best way to elicit personality is getting arrested, but it certainly shows you a little bit of something, that there is a little bit of bad boy in Scottie Scheffler, and he certainly showed it on the golf course this week. And I just look at what Scottie has put forth and what he has done. I'm just surprised. I didn't know that this part of Scottie existed here, and I think that it's a great thing for the sport. If you've got a guy like Scottie showing this level of character, this level of passion for the game, it's the one thing that I think can really make him a must-watch draw. We know he's already must-watch because of the skill, but is the skill in the sport of golf alone good enough to bring the casual eyes to the television? Right now, I don't think it is, but I think if you start to see more of the personality of Scottie, And we've seen him go on different podcasts and stuff like that, where he starts to endear himself a little bit more to the people as well. More Scotty is great for the game of golf, and I'm talking about off the course, seeing this side. And I get this was an on-course event that took place here, but I love to see this out of Scotty because I think it's going to draw plenty of eyeballs moving forward.
No doubt about that. In fact, you know, I think when you do start to see these personalities truly come out, what happens is it yields characters. It yields villains. It yields people that we want to follow and engage with. And
this is one of his best friends on the tour that he's yelling at.
That's the whole point here. So Tom Kim, you know, basically tried to get some emotion into this thing and gave it right directly to his good buddy, Scottie Scheffler, who gave it right back. But then what they did is they went ahead and walked, I believe it was to the ninth tee, while they still hadn't finished putting out on eight. And that behavior is a little bit more edgy because out of respect, you should be watching them putt out and without moving. Because if you move, that's an indication to the crowd that you can move too. And if you're an international fan, well, my team's moving, I'm just going to start moving. And now all of a sudden you've got chaos while Scotty was trying to putt. And if you noticed, he had to back off. So, you know, some of that behavior, I think Tom Kim, if you ask him today, I think he regretted that move. But I do love to see the fire out of him that brought out the fire in Scotty. Because let's face it, this thing is probably over. But what these guys got to do is stay focused, because I'm sure with Keegan Bradley running around in that team room, knowing he's the captain next year at Bethpage, I'm sure there are some guys that are trying to put their best foot forward for whatever the scenario yields. If they don't make it on points, could I still be a captain's pick? Can I begin to create or cement that relationship now and try to develop the things that Keegan is looking for in a guy like me? And I'm sure they sat Scotty down and said, look, we're going to put a rookie with you, and you're going to mentor, and you're going to help this guy. And he's taking it seriously, and I think he showed it when Tom Kim basically tried to bully their team a little bit with the emotion and try to get unnerve a rookie, Russell Henley. And so it was like Tom Kim was a rookie the last time they played, and now he's kind of a vet. He's showing some gamesmanship. Scotty recognizes it and says, not on my turf, you're not, and gave it right back to him. So I think this is the foreshadowing of a special team that's going to show up at Bethpage.
Yeah, I think we were a little critical last week of the just taking the top 12 guys here. Felt a little lazy and maybe not respecting the event as much, but it is showing you the gap that we currently have in this event. I mean, the U.S. has only lost it once, and for where we're at right now with everything that's going on in the world of golf too, I think this is a good little tune-up for some of these guys and throwing them in different situations. We talked about last week, too, that are you going to be treating this like a sort of JV event? And to a degree, it does feel like that. I mean, the pairings were certainly odd. We brought that up a little bit earlier. But everything that about, I mean, you're seeing the result right now. It does still feel like it is the varsity going up against the JV team.
It does. And, you know, across the board, is NBC, is the United States team, are we all looking at this like it's a AAA production and we're getting ready for the big stage next year? I hate to say that, but you know what also affected this year's matches, believe it or not? Live. I mean, they don't have Joaquin Niemann. They don't have a Cam Smith, among other potential players. And that team looks a lot different with a hot Joaquin Niemann and a strong Cam Smith plan. That, I mean, I'm not saying that would cause them to win, but I'll tell you one thing, they'd be more competitive.
Yeah, for sure. And you think about, too, the way that this year has gone, where it feels like we've started to endear ourselves, and we know next year that the live implications are going to be very minimal, if any, in terms of the Ryder Cup. But boy, I mean, you're going to have a hard time finding some eyes for this event this weekend because of everything that is going on. Obviously, you've got football this weekend, NFL and college that's going to be going up against. And then if you've got a blowout on the course, like it's a tough sell for some of the casual observers that you want to rope into the sport here and get them going. But I think overall, by the time we get to the Ryder Cup next year, this overall will be a positive experience, even though these aren't going to be the 12 that are going to be suited up at Bethpage Black next year. But I think overall, this has been a good experience for this U.S. team, and you're starting to see, I think you bring up an excellent point there with Scotty, bringing along a young guy like Russell Henley, and you just see Jim Furyk kind of pulling some strings that you didn't expect leading into this tournament. But it feels more experimental, and maybe it is more of a case study for Keegan Bradley to gather some data points to see how different things work out here.
Well, and I think it's a great lesson for Keegan to watch how Jim Furyk is handling things, handling the pressure, handling the press conferences, handling the pairings, and how he handles the team room and all the dynamics and the egos. Can you imagine having 12 of the biggest golf egos in one room trying to bring them together as a team? I mean, it may say, oh, that's pretty easy, but again, you know, egos and contracts and sponsorships and everything, it's a little bit more complicated than meets the eye with maybe your local travel team or an amateur sport, if you will. But seriously, these, you know, I do think that this is a great prelude for next year. It's just really sad that this was an opportunity that we could have really ended 2024 on an unbelievable note, you know, before we headed into the winter on this. And unfortunately, it feels like kind of a dud. And, you know, that's the bad part, that we're not necessarily growing more interest. In fact, it's probably going to be shrinking once we see what the TV ratings look like. But they're up against a very steep slope. You know, the NFL, a slate of college football that's probably going to be very strong this weekend. Mm-hmm. And if this thing gets out of hand early this morning, it's done. I mean, it's done, and nobody's going to tune in, and that's sad.
Would you change the golf calendar in any sort of way? Like, I just think about it. You see every sport in America right now running from the NFL, doing anything they can to dodge the NFL. It feels like golf may need to push some things up and try to get this thing in, maybe like Labor Day weekend.
I think golf is going through what I consider a time where they have to start looking at it from a perspective of, is less like better than more, you know, because
especially when you've got sponsors that are dropping too.
Exactly. And so what's happening is we're getting maybe more events, but with fewer players. So there's a less entertainment value that's out on the screen or on the field or on the course or however you want to view it. But yeah, I just think that this whole thing is a bit broken, and they have to get away from that shield. I mean, when September comes, it's football season, and I think the PGA Tour would do itself a big favor if they used maybe Labor Day weekend as the President's Cup weekend and maybe bring in the Solheim Cup with it. And let's let the PGA Tour and the LPGA Tour have a Solheim President's Cup intertwined in some really cool fashion. I mean, how about Scottie Scheffler and Nelly being a team? You know, that would all of a sudden, I'm watching that. And now they're playing against the rest of the world. Well, guess what? The rest of the world kind of dominates on the LPGA side. So if we put these two entities together, I think you might have something.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea there. Just something to change things up, especially for an event like this that has been so lopsided. Just something new, something fresh, something different, I think would be really good for the sport. So, I
would agree, because, you know, the PGA of America had to look at the Ryder Cup. You've got to remember, the Ryder Cup was a lot like this early on. America dominated, and it was only against England. Then it was in the late 70s that they opened it up to England and Ireland. Before then, in the 80s, they opened it up to the whole continent of Europe. So they've been able to make the adjustments to, you know, reflect the imbalance in sort of the pool that you draw from for the talent. And so now the President's Cup is up against a more formidable challenge when you have this big thing called the rest of the world but Europe and the United States going against the United States. So I think that you know, they could come up with a solution here that I think would be good for golf.
Do you think, too, that maybe the rise in golf participation as well, and just like we've seen the rest of the world catch up in a number of sports aside from football, since we're the only country that plays football, really. But we've seen the rest of the world catch up in basketball. I mean, you think about some of the best players in the NBA. If you put together an international team versus an American team and had like a game, the international team probably wins against an American team. Do you feel like, and even the way that you look at it now, there's better players coming out of Asia. There's better players coming out of Australia. There's better players coming out of South America at this point. Like, do you think that we'll see in the next decade this event start to even itself out a little bit?
Yes, I do. Because, trust me, what I do is I look at where the collegiate coaches start pulling their talent from at the most, you know, the top schools across the country. And it's amazing how much international recruiting is going on now. That is telling me that that's where the future of the game is, because it is now more of a global game. And as countries like, you know, Japan doesn't have a whole lot of golf courses because they just don't have the space or the terrain to build it, right? But now with the evolution of indoor simulators and in like the country of Korea, for example, 80% of the golf that's played in that country is on a simulator. How about that?
That's incredible.
So there, with technology being the way that it is, and the ability to see and experience golf from all sectors of the world, now you have the ability to get people plugged into who Scottie Scheffler is from halfway around the world or whomever. And it's a lot easier to get great formal training through the internet that when I was a junior golfer, you could have never have done this. So the ability to get better around the world is inherently huge now. And yes, in the next 10 years, this should be a much closer battle. But again, you can't underestimate the talent that comes out of the United States, because it's always the best.
For sure. No doubt about that. All right. When we come back, we will get into just a year in review of what we saw in the world of golf this year, from majors to off-course storylines, everything, and just kind of size up. What kind of year did we have in the world of golf this year? All that is coming up next. But first, let's get a President's Cup update from Kevin Zipak.
Thanks, Tyler. Taking a look here, three finals today in the foursomes. First, Scottie Scheffler and Russell Henley, 3-2 winners over Hideki Matsuyama and Sungjae Im. Brian Harman and Max Homa, 2-up, winners over Taylor Pendrith and Adam Scott. Colin Morikawa, Sam Burns for the United States, 1-up, winners over Corey Connors and Mackenzie Hughes. And through 17, Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele tied with Siwoo Kim and Tom Kim. Be right back on ESPN 1000 with more of the CDGA Golf Show.
Is ESPN Chicago, WNVP, WTBC, HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Segment brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our Chicagoland locations today. Alongside Mike Gilligan, I'm Tyler Aki. This is the CDGA Golf Show. You miss anything, you can catch up on the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just fire up the search bar and look for the CDGA Golf Show. So it was quite the year on the tour and the major championship calendar, Mike. I mean, we had an epic finish at what you and I both believe is the home of golf, that Pinehurst Resort down in Pinehurst, North Carolina, and Pinehurst number 2 specifically. And just everything we saw, Bryson DeChambeau goes out and wins that tournament. Xander gets the monkey off of his back and goes out and wins not one, but two majors this year. You see Scottie Scheffler put together one of the best seasons a golfer has ever had, including a gold medal out in Paris. So just we're going to go through some of the highs, the lows, everything in between that we saw from this golf season. And in a year where we've talked so much about the PGA Tour and LIV versus PGA battles, I feel like Bryson DeChambeau's emergence was just another feather in the cap of legitimacy towards the LIV Golf Tour. And now we've seen back-to-back years where a LIV golfer has gone out and won a major. And it kind of felt like it was in the same vein as last year, where Brooks went out, got hot at the Masters. Everyone kind of had written him off for his career. And he goes out, has a good showing at the Masters, finishes runner-up, and then he goes out and wins the PGA Championship. This time, Bryson, everyone had sort of written off Bryson for everything that has happened with his career so far. Was he an internet golfer? Was he just trying to be too analytical with stuff? Kind of turned some people off, but I think he won back a lot of fans as well. And he goes out, plays very well at the Masters, and then goes out and finishes with a victory at the U.S. Open at Pinehurst.
Yeah, you know, you're so spot on. And I'm so happy for a guy like Bryson DeChambeau, because to your point, he turned, you know, the feelings or attitudes about him in the minds of many, including me, because I always thought the guy was a little strange in his ways, but he is a genius, and he is a guy that looks at this game in a completely different fashion. And for traditionalists, it's, you know, it's not conventional. I mean, who plays with all six irons? I mean, or a length of a club that's all six irons, but he does it, and he does it great. But when he came out and fired, you know, a 65, and, you know, it was, what, a few years earlier, he was calling out the Masters as being a par 67. But when he threw the gauntlet down, I had a feeling, based on how his body changed, all for the better, I think. He went from being, you know, a typical normal, what I'd call amateur golfer turning pro body type, to almost turning into like Hulk Hogan to long drive guys, to somewhere now in the middle, like a ripped first-class athlete. And he showed it this year. And I was, you know, and I think that the Masters was the foreshadowing to what then Bryson was able to do. He put on a show at Valhalla, but he closed the deal in such amazing fashion in theater at course two at Pinehurst. And to me, that's one of the biggest memories, is that bunker shot he hit there. But for me, it seemed like the love for Bryson started at Augusta with the strike of a little match, and it finally, the wick blew up the thing at the U.S. Open, and he is now a sensation like no other. And honestly, he is the one LIV guy that I can point to say he is growing the game. He does have a plan, and his plan is working.
For sure. I mean, he was one of the, it's not a revelation, because he's obviously been a major champion before, but he was one of the great welcome backs of the year to the game of golf. And it'll be interesting to see, because it feels like we get a new LIV guy that sort of pops every single year. Who's next? Who's going to be the guy that kind of revitalizes their career? I mean, John Rahm had a down year this year by Rahm's standards, but he finished strong, whether it was at the Olympics, at the Open Championship, and then he goes out and wins the LIV Golf Individual Championships. So it's tough to say he really had a down year, but I think when he was competing with the rest of his golfing peers, it wasn't the best of years for him. He was a disaster at the Masters. And then you see him come back next year. Maybe next year is Rahm's year to really reintroduce himself to the game after it feels like he's been hidden away a little bit over on the LIV Tour this year. So, yeah, that's the next piece of what's going to happen with LIV and the PGA Tour. From one of the best and most interesting debates that was had this year on the golf circuit was the would you rather have Scotty or Xander's season. And Scotty had all of the wins, he had a ton of runner-ups, and on the other side you had Xander, who only had the two wins. However, they were both majors, and I think that's another thing too. When you look at the major winners from this season, you couldn't ask for a better group. I think they truly were the three best players this season that we saw. It was Xander taking up two of the four wins, and then you get Bryson and Scotty. Scotty puts on a masterclass at the Masters, and then you have Xander just kind of hold off guys and kind of win the battle of attrition in the at the Open Championship and puts his foot on the gas in the PGA Championship. And then Bryson was Bryson. He got into an absolute hell match with Rory, and it was just kind of, all right, who's going to lose this? Not who's going to win this, and Bryson outlasted him in that. But overall, the Scotty versus Xander debate, I think, kind of came to a close when Xander ultimately admitted that, listen, Scotty's season was better than mine, and he would rather have what Scotty did with all of the wins. I mean, Ted Scott, Scotty's caddy, was probably like one of the top 35 earners on the tour this year, top 50 earners on the tour this year. That's how good Scotty was. But yeah, it was awesome seeing those guys go back and forth throughout, even though we didn't really see them in a head-to-head match or like in some sort of final grouping down the stretch. It was cool to see those two kind of be the faces of winning on the tour this year.
When you look at Scotty's season versus Xander's, at the end of the day, I think Scotty looks at the majors and the season he's had in the short term as that's the season I would rather. But I think as he looks to the end of his career, when he's looking back, I think he would have said those two majors look awfully good at this time of my career. But in my mind, a green jacket going along with a gold medal and all of those other wins that he had. And I'm going to tell you, these wins were not like at, you know, the Sammy Davis Jr. Ace Hardware True Value Open. These were the, I would call, secondary majors when you consider Jack Nicklaus's course and Arnold Palmer's and the Players' Championship. I mean, all of these are like mini majors. So I think the season that Scotty had was one of just sheer dominance. And I know during the summer, people were chatting about whose season would you rather have. I think Scotty just put the gauntlet down during the playoffs and showed why there is no question I am the player of the year. I deserve to be the player of the year because look at this resume, folks. And it's going to be interesting to see how he attacks 2025 because it's just like anything else. When you play a really, really good round of golf and you go low, it's hard to come back that next day and replicate the same thing because if it doesn't start out well, you're already behind. So mentally, it's going to be an interesting year to observe what Scotty does. Does he just continue what he's doing? Or do some of these guys, like a Xander, go back, you know, home and figure this thing out over the winter and try to get their game just a little bit more to compete with this guy because he's setting a bar maybe even higher than Tiger did. Well, only time will tell.
Yeah, and it's something that these guys really weren't. Like when Scotty was locked in, no one was close. Like that right. Masters, I think, kind of embodies the season that Scotty had where you get to Amen Corner and everyone else was flaming out, but Scotty just stayed steady and even put his foot on the gas at times. And that's why he was able to run away with that Masters and really put on a hell of a show, especially on Sunday when you saw guys like Ludwig start to crumble and all of a sudden Scotty's improving. Morikawa dropping back. Scotty's accelerating. You didn't see that in a lot of Xander's. You saw Xander hold off guys. You saw Xander kind of work his way from the back at the Open Championship and ultimately claim those crowns. And not to say those aren't impressive because they certainly are, but just the pure dominance that Scotty could have with that and then coming back after he was arrested and playing probably a purely adrenaline Friday morning round that he almost missed his tee time for. Like, everything about this season for Scotty was impressive. The wins, the way that he conducted his business, the Olympic gold medal, everything about it with Scotty Scheffler kind of showed that we have the next great superstar in the sport and maybe looking at one of the all-time greats when it's all said and done.
Couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, two things to that point. When he was at Augusta and throughout the year for that matter, anytime he dropped a shot or somebody else makes that surge, He always found another gear, whether it was in the majors, whether it was in the, you know, the non-majors that were mini majors that we talked about, whether it was in the playoffs. I mean, this guy, it's almost like he has an on and off switch that he can control. And that is something that's pretty impressive. Then I had the fortunate opportunity to see what happened at Valhalla firsthand.
Yeah.
When Scotty showed up and walked right in front of me when he got out of that car, I looked at him and I said, this guy's going to shoot 80-something, right? Because this guy was just in the clink. And he walks out, you know, as calm as a cucumber and hits a dozen balls, hits a few bunker shots, a few putts, and says, let's go. That impressed me. That was the most impressive day of golf I witnessed out of him because of everything that was going on. It was sheer chaos everywhere except the 6 inches between Scotty's ears. And his ability to control it under all that duress was the most impressive thing. And let me also throw in one other little feature. He didn't have his caddy on Saturday.
Yeah, right.
And had, so it's just crazy how this all came together. But again, I go back to what you just said. I think we're watching history and we don't know it.
Yeah. No doubt about that. One honorable mention I want to give to the year that we saw in golf, Ludvig Åberg was one of the rising stars in the sport. Tons of fun to watch.
Absolutely. And you know what? We knew it when we saw him play in the Ryder Cup. And yep, we predicted then that we should see some great things out of Ludvig. And you know what? I'm convinced if he didn't hurt that knee, I think he would have won a major. So I list him as one of our four major winners next year.
Yeah, he's going to have to clean up his Sundays because he certainly struggled once he did get to Sundays. He was not shooting sub 70 rounds, which if you're gonna walk away with some hardware, you're going to need to do that. But overall, that is the next great star that we're going to see on the PGA Tour, and lots of fun to see him do that. Any other like honorable mentions? And then when we come back, we'll get to some of the irksome stories and maybe the valleys of the season in golf.
I was just thrilled for Adam Scott. Yep. You know, he receives an invite to play, you know, in the in one of the majors to keep the streak going alive. But, you know, that was his 92nd consecutive major, and now it's 93. But that being the Open Championship, and you know, for a lot of people who really don't know Adam Scott, he is really now, in my generation, the journeyman, but a guy that's still playing incredibly good golf for as long as he's ever been a professional, and he's the consummate professional, and we're getting to see him at the President's Cup, and I really hope he has a nice President's Cup to, you know, really end up what was otherwise a very strong year for a guy like Adam Scott, and a guy that was threatening, or not threatening, but looking hard at making that jump to live. The PGA Tour is better off because Adam Scott stayed here.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, when we come back, we'll dive into some of the other side of the ledger here, some of the bad that we saw on the tour and everything, and not just the tour, on the other side. The live in PGA Tour conversation continues to chug along. There's a little spoiler for you there, so we'll get into some of that as well. When we come back, this segment brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our Chicagoland locations today.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
This segment brought to you by Coghill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan talking golf with you here as the PGA Tour season has come to a close. President's Cup going on as we speak right now. We'll get you a President's Cup update from Kevin Zipak in just a little bit. But Mike, last segment we were talking a little bit about some of the highs from the PGA Tour season and just the golfing season in general. I don't know why I'm just only saying PGA Tour, but the golfing season in general. But on to some of the lows, because there certainly was no shortage of that, especially when you've got a long-standing beef now. I say long-standing, but it felt like an eternity. It's only been 3 years. Between LIV Golf and the PGA Tour. And now it seems like everything's coming together. There was the announcement last year that these two entities were going to be merging, and we still have not seen any sort of sign or hint or inkling of any of that. And I think that's something that's really dragged down the sport a little bit this year and has taken away from some of the great golf that we've seen being played on both of these tours. And it's unfortunate that we're at that point, but here we are.
You know, you're right. And when you think about the things that annoyed you the most this past year, I mean, LIV is the first thing that comes to mind, because this thing doesn't have a resolution. We're going into now the winter knowing about as much as we knew as we went into this season. I don't know that we really know much other than that they're allegedly still talking, and, you know, there's a lot to talk about. Yeah, I just thought we'd be a lot further along. In fact, I thought we'd at least be to the point where maybe they put at least some plan in front of the DOJ so to get their approval, because even though that these sides come to an agreement, ultimately our government has to approve whatever deal that they ultimately strike here. So number one on my list is things that annoyed me this past year is the lack of resolution to the LIV PGA saga.
Yeah, no doubt about that. One of the other things that I think took a lot of headlines this year, and rightfully so, was the struggles of Rory McIlroy and some of the demons that he has certainly been facing ever since he had that wonderful, wonderful year last year, albeit without a major, but everything was top five, top ten for him, it felt like, last year. This year, far from it. He has the excruciatingly painful choke at the U.S. Open this year. I told you that, so for those who don't remember, the final round of the U.S. Open was on Father's Day, and I was off doing some things with my dad, so I didn't watch it live, but I went back and watched it on the Monday, and it got to a point, I can't remember the exact hole, but like holes 12, 13, I'm like, and I knew the result at that point. But I'm thinking to myself, how the hell does this guy lose? And you see some of these missed gimme putts that, listen, if you're not making these three-footers, and it's not, listen, Bryson missed his share of those on the other side, too. He just made fewer errors down the stretch. But the painful season for Rory McIlroy, another one without a major. It's been over a decade for him now. You have to. Everyone thought Valhalla this year was going to be it for him, because it's returning to the site of his last major championship, 10 years apart, but we've now gone a decade without a Rory McIlroy major.
Well, and I just, when ask about the things that annoy you, I just put Rory down in general. I mean, here's a guy who shows up before a major championship after serving his wife papers. His whole year has been just, it's just been painful to watch, literally, on certain levels. I mean, here's a guy that everyone wants to win. We want to get him over that finish line, get that fifth major or more, and he can't seem to do it. And then to make matters worse, you know, the personal life comes into the thing, the rumors with, you know, Amanda from CBS to all of this, and then all of a sudden at the U.S. Open, he's reconciling. And so what is going on in between his ears, both on the golf course as well as off the golf course, he's got to start cleaning that all up, because hopefully his personal life is put to bed so that he can go out in 2025 and compete like a normal athlete would, with no other baggage hanging over his head, that he's not showing up on page six of the New York Times page or what have you, or he's not in the National Enquirer. He just needs to get back to what he does best, and that's play golf.
Yeah, no doubt about that. One of the just kind of going through some of the other smaller ones real quick, Max Homa struggles. Did not see those coming for him after he had a tremendous season last year, but he certainly fell off this year.
Yeah, he certainly did, and it's going to be interesting to see where he comes out of this President's Cup, because this week he got rid of his coach. because things aren't right. He's fighting that swing. We watched him play in a tournament a week or so ago, and he just doesn't look like the same Max Homa we saw last year. But you know what? This guy is so talented. He's going to figure this out, and maybe the coaching change is exactly what the doctor ordered, and maybe he's going to show it to us this weekend.
Yeah, and then lastly for me, another year of Tiger Woods and another year of no cuts made for Tiger Woods. It was a really, really rough watch this year.
It really is, and you know, it's so hard to have to watch Tiger Woods at the age of 48 compete like the body of a 70-year-old man. I mean, I wish that we could have been fortunate enough to see a healthy 48-year-old Tiger Woods, less car accidents, less any of these other issues, to see where his game really could have been. And so each year that clicks off the calendar that goes by with no wins, no cuts made, is just another nail into the proverbial coffin that, you know, he may be at the end of his career, at least from a PGA Tour perspective. You know, he's going to turn 49 while we're in our off season. When we get back together, he's 1 year away from technically the Champions Tour. Will he do that? Would he even want to do that? But I think a lot of this is all going to be contingent upon how his son Charlie blossoms over this next year or two to determine, I think, what Tiger's future is going to look like, either as a player or simply as a father.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, when we come back, we will go through a cool event that you participated in this week. Not the Ryder Cup, the Writers' Cup. So we'll discuss all that and more when we come back. This segment has been brought to you by Coghill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience. But before we do hit the break, Kevin Zipak, can you give us an update on what's taking place at the President's Cup?
Yeah, I got you, Tyler. All the foursomes are done for today. Scottie Scheffler and Russell Henley defeated Hideki Matsuyama and Sungjae Im 3-2. Brian Harman and Max Homa, were defeated by Taylor Pendrith and Adam Scott today, 2-up. Colin Morikawa and Sam Burns, 1-up. They were winners over Corey Connors and Mackenzie Hughes. And Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele, 1-up winners over Siwoo Kim and Tom Kim. Back in a moment with more of the CDGA Golf Show here on ESPN 1000.
Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf without the drive. Mike, you had a cool event that you partook in this week.
I did.
Not Ryder Cup. Maybe one day for you. But the Ryder's Cup is what you did this week.
Yeah, I don't know that the real Ryder Cup would ever be in my career. But I'll tell you, it's an honor to be a part of the Team Illinois and in the annual Ryder's Cup, which was held at Geneva National. And this event started almost 30 years ago. And basically, it pits the media of Illinois, Chicago mainly, against everyone from Wisconsin and the various papers and radio stations and TV stations. So on Team Illinois, you had the likes of our captain. You can't go anywhere without a good captain. And we had Barry Cronin, who worked for the Sun-Times and is our senior editor of our magazine. We had the great Ed Sherman, a lead Tribune writer. Teddy Greenstein didn't play this year, but Teddy usually plays. Jeff Blanzy from NBC. Dan Rohn, who actually was my partner.
Lucky
John
you.
Borman from the WGA, the head of communications. And then we also had a loaded player, Eric Ciotti, who also
he brought
does
in a ringer, huh?
Yes, we did, who's played in the U.S. Open and is a part of our CDGA team. But he also does broadcast for the Big Ten Network, you know, when they do their events. So what this is basically it started almost 30 years ago when they were journalists, back when they literally used paper and pencil and did, you know, the old-fashioned way. And they were just a bunch of 20-plus handicaps that would get together, and they didn't even have indexes or anything. And they created this set of friendly matches. And here we are almost 30 years later, and we had quite the battle on our hands where, unfortunately, I'm here to report, though, and a big congratulations to the fine folks up north of us. Wisconsin edged Illinois to win the 28th annual Ryder's Cup at Geneva National up in Wisconsin. They dominated the morning team matches, and they won the best ball 4.5 to 1.5, and then the alternate shot 3.5 to 2.5. So we were down 8 to 4. However, in the singles match, Team Illinois came ahead, and it came down to the final match. We had a chance to tie. Myself and John Borman got us. We were in the second to last group. We got ourselves 1.5 out of the 2 possible points. I won my singles match, and he got a tie. So, and he made it like a 20-footer to get the tie. So that gave us hope, but then we dropped the last match. So we lost 12.5 to 11.5. But I have to tell you, great times. Congratulations to Glenn Turk, captain of the Team Wisconsin. But a huge thank you to Geneva National, who rolled out a red carpet for us like no other. Rooms, practice round, and our 27 holes of competition. Glenn Murray and the folks at Geneva National are the best. So thank you for such an amazing 2 days of hospitality. And it was a great match. And we look forward to trying to get the cup back next year.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't realize you guys lost with that loaded roster.
Did. With that loaded roster.
Yeah, I know. That's, and Dan's retired now, too. What's he doing besides golfing?
I don't know. But Dan has one heck of a game. I got to tell you, he was my partner. That guy can putt the lights out. If I could putt like Dan Rohn, I would be at the next Champions Tour event this week. I wouldn't be here talking to you.
All right. When we come back, we will talk with Tracy Butler, ABC7 meteorologist. How much golf do we have left here in the Chicagoland area? All that's coming up in 2 minutes right here on the CDGA Golf Show. This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Also, you can bring us on the go with the ESPN Chicago app. This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf without the drive. And it is a pleasure to welcome in one of our favorites here to the CDGA Golf Show, an avid golfer herself. And she always, and has done a magnificent job setting up a wonderful summer of golf weather-wise. It's Tracy Butler from ABC7 joining us here in studio for the CDGA Golf Show. How are you doing, Tracy? And it's so good to have you back with us.
Oh, my gosh, guys. Thank you for the invitation. Are you kidding me? You know, you're my P1 on the weekends. I listen to you guys. Sometimes I'm at the grocery store, or when you've been on Sunday, maybe headed back from church or something, and I'm listening. So, yeah, well done. Well done.
Well, Tyler, I think you forgot to mention not only an avid golfer, but a good golfer.
No. Where is this myth coming from?
Well, you proved it right on television in front of a live audience, right in front of everyone. You made two of the clutchest putts, and people don't do that twice in a row. That's not beginner's luck. Maybe one time, but not two. You've got game.
I have it on good authority, too. Someone who's caddied for you, my buddy Jimmy Nash.
That's right!
And who says you are a wonderful golfer as well. So not just avid, but a talented golfer.
Oh,
Tracy.
My gosh! Jimmy, where are you, buddy? Gosh, could I use you lately?
Well, even at the grip it and sip it, I saw a few of your swings. You've got game, girl.
Oh, my gosh. That was a day with Cap. And we were not only did we have that, we were fighting cicadas.
That's right.
That was something else.
Hampered the swing more, the cicadas or Cap?
Cap, without a doubt. I don't even have to think about that one.
All right. Well, Tracy, it feels like every single year we squeeze a few more days, weeks, and maybe even a month or two out of this golf season. What are we looking at here for the rest of the year? How much longer, let's say like average tolerance, where when it dips below like 60, you're out.
Oh, gosh.
What are we 60? Looking at here?
for me personally. But, hey, there's guys out there with their winter gloves on in January, mm-hmm. right? I mean,
that's true.
You're talking to one of them down the line here.
I know.
I played twice in February.
I think my brother-in-law back in Pennsylvania has played like ridiculous, I want to say like 60 months straight. Like he's played at least one time in every month for, I think, 60 consecutive months or something. It's insane. But so, yeah, I mean, that's a million-dollar question you just asked me, Tyler. And believe me, if I had all the answers to those kind of questions, I don't know that I would be sitting here. I'd be out on every golf course in the country. You know, we had such a great stretch, but it was so dry. And I would imagine those dry conditions impacted a lot of local golf courses. So we got some rain. We're still in a moderate drought in a good part of the area here. Could use some more rain. As for temperatures, you know, even when we've gotten into October, we've had some record highs that have gotten into the 80s and even 90s. Now, I'm not saying I'm seeing any of that as much as I know Cap would like me to. But our average highs, you know, in October start off in the upper 60s. And then by the end of the month, you know, our average highs are closer to 60 as we're trending in toward November. It's, you know, it's all so hit and miss in the fall. But the one thing about fall golf that I find frustrating, you can't find the ball with all the leaves that are falling. So I think we have some good weeks left. I think the upcoming week, as we look ahead to next week, I think we're going to have some days in the 70s, maybe even upper 70s toward the end of the week. The following week, I am starting to see a little bit of a pattern shift where we could have some days in there with highs even struggling to get to 60 degrees, which would be below average.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, October will be upon us then.
So no guesstimate on November at this point, huh?
No guesstimate on November at this point. I am sorry, my dear, but if you want to be teeing off on Thanksgiving, no guarantees, but we've had some beautiful Thanksgivings around.
Oh, here. I've played quite a few times on Thanksgiving.
Have you
really? I played in shorts and a short sleeve shirt one year. I remember that vividly. But Tracy, you know, with the Category 4 storm that's treating the Southeast like a washing machine right now, 25 years ago, almost to the day, we had another Category 4 hurricane that infamously helped create what I called one of the greatest golf courses in the world, the Ocean Course at Kiawah. My question to you is, do major events like this dictate any sort of change in our expected weather? Like, if, for example, if this storm didn't happen, would we still see the same weather? Does that have any bearing, or is it just on the very short term?
Well, you know what? For the most part, it's kind of on the short term for us. And, you know, as we saw over, you know, late in the week on our Friday and everything, we saw the really strong gusty winds around our area. And that was all part of that system. Plus, that combined with an area of high pressure off to the north to just reinforce how strong the winds were, how high the waves were on the lake. But yes, for the most part, now the thing you have to remember too, the peak of hurricane season is September 10th. Okay, so we're not too far removed from that. So we still have a ways to go, and hurricane season still runs through the end of November. So this is something that we will need to continue to watch. Could have a longer impact on maybe our weather. I mean, I say that maybe. It's not often, but it does happen, like it has happened for us this weekend. But, you know, it just breaks my heart to see the impact of something like this on folks in the Southeast. And this was such a huge, gigantic storm with such far-reaching effects, and the imminent danger and the imminent flooding with, you know, dam failures and such in the Carolinas, it's just been catastrophic.
Tracy Butler, ABC 7 meteorologist, with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. So I know we're obviously not near the storms themselves, but we get some of the blow over here in Illinois. How long can we expect to see this over the next couple of weeks?
Well, you know what? First of all, with Helene, you know, I still think we're going to have breezy conditions around here all this weekend.
It was pretty windy just walking in today.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of these wind gusts have been, you know, some areas getting, you know, over 50 mile per hour wind gusts. But yeah, even over the weekend for the Bears game, I think we'll still have some breezy conditions, not as intense as, you know, what we've had for the past couple of days. But yeah, that, so we'll go through Helene, and then we'll see what impacts us next.
So Tracy, you know, as we look to the winter, last winter was pretty mild as far as ground cover. I think the superintendents preferred the way the winter we had. I mean, they do like ground cover, but what they don't like is that icing across the grass, the freeze burn that you might see, dead areas, yellow, that kind of thing when you return back to your facility. Is there any sort of projection in terms, is this going to have a lot of precipitation? Because we really didn't get much last winter.
No, we didn't. And we're kind of getting into what we call La Nina pattern, and we could be getting some more precipitation. But that doesn't necessarily mean snow. Could possibly mean rain if it stays, you know, with above average temperatures. You know, one thing that I want to remind folks and remember all the golf fans and friends out there is that we get into mid-October and we start getting into those frost mornings, start getting frost delays at local courses. So it's just something to bear in mind. I know there are a lot of courses kind of start their morning tee times later in the morning to avoid kind of that backup with that. But that's also something to just bear in mind as we go into the next few weeks. And it's great to absorb all to observe all the foliage, but there are other things that kind of go along with that beauty too, and that is that transition to some of the colder.
I want to put both of your heads together here, all right? Tracy, the weather expert who knows everything about weather.
Well, I don't know about that, but
and,
I try. Oh,
and Mike, the golf course expert who knows everything there is about golf courses across the country here, all right? Like, I want to put your heads together here.
Okay.
We know the traditional spots in the off season, or at least the Illinois off season for golf, is going to Florida or going to Arizona. And those places are very well known. But Tracy, I'll start with you, and then Mike, you can kind of piggyback off of this. What is like a place that people kind of sleep on in the country that has a pretty nice and like playable golf conditions during the winter? And then Mike, I'll have you kind of spit through some maybe courses that are in those states or areas.
Okay, you know what? I absolutely, I'm going to have to go with the Carolinas here.
I knew you would.
I just, you know, I worked in Richmond, Virginia for 2 years, and I remember, you know, the big thing is in the mid-Atlantic states, like Virginia, like the Carolinas, they deal with more ice storms than they do snow storms. In fact, I remember my news director at the time said, if you even have a slight thought of a snowflake before you even say it on TV, make sure you choose your words carefully, because every loaf of bread will be off of the store shelves in the grocery stores if you even utter a snowflake. So I've always been mindful of that. But the one thing that I do remember is how long you could really absorb the outdoors and really just get out there. At the time, I was playing much more tennis than golf, but you know, just be out there in October, in November, in March. I mean, March around here can be just dreadful, as we know. But yeah, you know, the Carolinas, I love the Carolinas. I love around the Blue Ridge. I love you get out down into Asheville and Hickory, North Carolina. And then, of course, you know my favorite that Mike was just talking about, Kiowa. I love the Carolinas.
And, you know, along those lines, I would have to concur. I mean, the Carolinas are a pretty special place for a lot of different reasons, and I would even throw Pinehurst into that. But the when you ask the question about where people may, you know, sleep on a resort, I think when people think of Kiowa, the first thing is the ocean course, that high barrier of entry to cost to play there and all of that nonsense.
Yes.
I think the best kept secret at Kiowa is Osprey Point. It's a Fazio design golf course, along with Turtle Point and Cougar Point, which is a player and a Nicklaus design. You can have an ultimate golf vacation at Kiowa without having to stay at a five-star diamond resort facility, which they have.
Right.
But there's also facilities and accommodations for everybody's budget. And I think, Tracy, you'll agree, there are no better beaches on the eastern seaboard than at Kiowa.
I am telling you, it is my favorite East Coast beach. And I grew up back in Pennsylvania, and we always went to the East Coast. But Kiowa by far, I mean, and especially even if you have, you know, young children, that beach, it goes for miles. And you don't get into some of the real rough surf that you do in some of the beaches a little farther north. And the water's so warm, especially in the summer. But it's just, it's so peaceful. And like you said, Mike, and that's a really good point, because, you know, there's the beautiful Sanctuary Hotel there, and it is, it's pricey. In the Ocean Course, it is pricey. But they have the great tennis villas there. And for fans of tennis, they have the Roy Barth Tennis Academy, which is amazing. Absolutely amazing. I mean, I could go on and on about it there. But yeah, but you can, you know, you can get some of the villas, and nobody's paying me from Kiowa to say any of this. But yeah, no, there's something for everybody. And then the other thing is, you know, if that's not your kind of bag, there's Isle of Palms, there's Sea Pines, like all those areas around there.
Yeah, Seabrook.
Charleston.
Yeah.
You know, you're half hour, 45 minutes from Charleston. It's just, it's beautiful.
Yeah. And what I would also say, there's been an influence also from Myrtle Beach with some of these, you know, putt-putt golf courses and entertainment centers that have now migrated down, because Myrtle Beach used to be the ultimate golf playground for the guys. But I think they're taking and picking out, you know, short courses and putting courses and mixing all that into these now all-inclusive type of resorts like a Kiowa. So it's good whether you're just with the guys, the family. And there's a lot of those places now that are popping up in the Tennessee. I just think you don't have to necessarily go to Florida to get what I consider a really nice change of seasons. I just think down in that Carolina, Tennessee, like Tracy mentioned, in the mountains area, all of those places have the best resorts being built, new ones opening up. And I think those are going to be where you're going to see the hotbed of the future of travel and golf is going to be down in that area, because you're not getting the extreme weather that you might get in Florida for the long durations. And you do have change of seasons. And I remember when I lived at Kiowa, for example, there'd be a day we'd be at 75 degrees and the next day it could be 45, but then you have three more days of 65, and it just sort of does that. But you are playing all 12 months a year.
Yeah. And you talk about Tennessee too, and the Smoky Mountains and down around Pigeon Forge and, you know, that whole Dollywood area and Gatlinburg.
Right.
And, you know, it's extraordinary. It's extraordinary. And I think you can milk the weather there too.
Yeah. I think a lot of these places too. I remember I was in Carolina, Greensboro last October. And we were playing golf down there, and it's one of those things. You start your day with a quarter zip on, and you've got it off by 11 or noon.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It works out beautifully. Tracy, anything else we need to know for the golfing weather that's ahead for here and locally?
You know what? Have fun. And I don't know, Mike, what do you recommend as far as trying to find your golf balls in when the leaves are falling out there? I mean, that's such a huge problem around here up in Wisconsin. When I go to play up in Wisconsin, it's like, well, you know, you just forget about it. Don't waste your time looking for the ball.
That up, because actually, Tyler and I, we were chatting about this a little bit last week. And what I do is I wait and I want to see.
He hits them straight. That's what he does.
Well, see, that's my problem.
But you can even lose them in the middle of the fairway. I've done that before.
Yes.
But seriously, what I'll do is I'll look at the color of the leaves that are falling, and I'll go to a Pro V colored ball, a yellow one if it is the nice contrast. But if the leaves are more of that brown and orangey color, I'll go with the white ball. But if they're green and still kind of have that, I just go with the highest contrast I can possibly get.
We're talking to like a pink ball.
I was
really
gonna say
well
pink
too.
Yeah, I'll pink go with the pink.
Actually, a pink ball, I know some guys that play with a pink golf ball and
love it.
They're proud of it.
Love it. Real men wear pink.
Exactly.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Well, Tracy, thanks so much for everything this year. It's been a pleasure having you on the show all year long, and we hope to see you down the road, and happy golfing off season.
Oh, my gosh. I hope to see you guys, too. And thank you so much. And again, I love listening to you guys. Just I'm honored that you would want to even have me on the show. So thank you.
Well, Tracy, we're so honored to have you, a friend of the show, and hopefully we'll get to see you maybe at the Chicago Golf Show at the Rosemont Convention Center when we kick off next year.
What another treasure. What another treasure that comes to this town. I sure hope so, and I hope to see my my gal pals, Peggy and Dion, out there, too.
They're scheduled to be with us.
Woohoo!
We hope to see you guys out there, and before you know it, it'll be here, too.
I know, exactly.
I'm already working on it.
Yep. All right, Tracy, thanks so much for joining us. This segment has been brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf without the drive.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
is ESPN Chicago. WNVP, WTBC, HD2 Chicago. A Good Karma Brands radio station.
From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Last CDGA Golf Show of the year as well. It's been a pleasure talking golf with all of you all season long. And we'll be back with you next year. Cannot wait. And we're going to kick it off how we always kick it off, Mike, at the Rosemont Convention Center for the Chicago Golf Show. So cannot wait to see you all out there. One of my favorite events that I get out to every single year just to see the golf community all come together in one spot. And it happens in February, and it's kind of like, all right, there may be snow on the ground or like wet boots when you walk in, but you know that when you're walking out of there, you're walking out with some golf gear, maybe some rounds, maybe you get some practice swings in, and you just know that the golf season's on the horizon there. So it'll be back before we know it here.
Oh, yes, it will.
So this off season, you know, I'm in a different circumstance than I've ever been in heading into a golfing off season because I didn't get to play a lot of golf this year, not nearly as much as I would have liked to because of the fact that I was dealing with a little injury here that pretty much kept me out of golf for about a month and a half, 2 months, and it was like the prime time of golf season. We're talking about from the middle of June to the end of July, I was pretty much off the golf course, and I just had to hear about all my friends and you and everyone else that was going out and playing golf, and the FOMO was settling in at a rampant rate that really, really, really had me questioning, why the hell did I ever decide to play 16-inch softball? And I have retired from that sport so that does not happen to me again, but that means I am going to be looking to take advantage of a number of different opportunities this off season to try to make up for the lost time I had over the course of the summer. And it's never been easier now in these golfing off seasons to make sure you're still active in the sport, whether it's lessons, whether it's simulators, all that stuff. You can find different ways to continue to play. And hey, I mean, the season just in general lasts longer. I mean, we could probably be out there in November with the way these last couple of years have gone and the weather that we've gotten late into the season. And I think both you and I, our first year were in February, if I'm not mistaken.
Very much so. And it was really, really warm. I remember playing Cog Hill.
It's like almost 70 degrees.
I know. It was absolutely ridiculous. But, you know, when you were chatting there, you know, and first and foremost, I felt so bad for you this summer because, you know, it was strange. You had broken the finger. Then you got good enough, or healthy enough, I should say, to be able to at least grip the club in a modified way, and then we absolutely lit it up at the golf marathon. Then you get the heartbreaking news that you've got to get surgery done at the point where we thought you were basically on the mend and about to get back into the game. So, yeah, you've had a tough year. You and Rory both have had tough years in your own way. But what I do like about what you're doing is you're making a choice. You're choosing now not to play softball and dedicate yourself to golf. So for that, I say congratulations, because now you got to make a commitment to doing it. And when you do, that's how you're going to embark change, and that's how you're going to get better. So the first thing you have to do is make a choice. Do you want to get better? And if so, commit to it and then begin to set up a plan. So what's going to be your plan this winter that I can hold you accountable to, because I want to play a lot of golf with you in 2025.
Yeah, I feel like it's just going to be consistency with making sure you're getting some swings in over the course of this off season, whether it's simulators, and I don't know, maybe there's a small little trip in the future too to Carolina or something like that. I don't know. But something along those lines of just making sure that there is consistency with going out, hitting balls, just doing little things, even if it's like getting one of the putting mats and taking some time each week to get a little putting done too. Find that consistent stroke. Everything. Like, I almost want to just bounce things off of you, because I know last winter for you was a particularly active golfing winter for you. Am I right?
Oh, so much so. I did almost just what I told you that you just went through. I made a choice, and I decided to really invest in my own self, in my own game. And how I did that is I found a teacher. I went to Golf Tech, and after interviewing and, you know, talking to different instructors, I have Ryan Kohlberg out at the Naperville store. I highly recommend him. But what that allowed me to do was, number one, get an unbiased opinion. And somebody who obviously is in the know, but more than anything, their ability with technology to be able to see yourself swing, you know, moment right after you do it, they can break it down. You can then begin to break it down and practice that way. I think I was fortunate to be able to practice in such a quality fashion that with the video and with the teaching, that investment alone helped my muscle memory in a way that, you know, made the learning curve or that muscle memory curve so much quicker, faster, that I benefited in a big, big way the second half of the summer when I could put all the pieces and parts together in a way that I could put a whole round together. You know, it wasn't just the irons were good or the, you know, the driver and the irons were good. Finally, I finally got to put all, you know, basically three phases of the game together. But then I also tried to stay in shape, and I did get a trainer. So I invested in myself from a physical perspective, but also from a technique perspective. And did it cost me a couple of bucks? Yeah. But at the same time, you can budget and you can get a plan that works for you. But I would highly, highly recommend getting a professional coach, even if they're seeing you only once a month. Mm-hmm. Then you at least can go in and check in, and at least you have drills, you have video, and you have an ability to help teach yourself. Because what this does more than anything is it allows you the ability to learn your swing so that when you are out on the golf course in the midst of a round, and maybe a competitive round, instead of having that bad shot going, oh no, here come a whole slew of others, now I'm going to play bad. You now know, wait a minute, I know when that happens, Ryan told me I've got to start doing this. And you can self-correct yourself, and you can save so many rounds of golf only because you took the time to learn about yourself.
Yeah, that's a good point. And like, there's a golf tech right by me too. Like, and you went Golf Tech, right?
Yes, I did.
And you would highly recommend it?
Very much so. And it's just because of the theory. They take the stack and tilt, the modern way of swinging, and they incorporate it into your performance or swing itself. Now, you may not be as athletic as some of these other players, but what they're able to do is embark a lot of that technique into what you're currently working with. And even if you don't master all of it, your swing will be so much better. And they have a mantra of, you know, 5 to 7 shot improvement. I can see why. But whether it's Golf Tech, whether it's your local club pro, whether it's anybody, but I think you need to have an unbiased outside opinion, not a friend who kind of knows you or, you know, somebody that thinks they know about golf. A certified Illinois PGA professional is the best way to go. And I think that will get you on a path of success in a much shorter time frame than trying to struggle and figure this all out on your own. Because once you start understanding yourself, then when you start searching on, you know, TikTok and Instagram for different lessons and whatnot, you can then pick out what they're saying in different words and apply it to what you've been told. And maybe they use a different word or a phrase to convey a feeling that you need to have at a certain point, whether it's up at the top of the swing, at impact, or at follow through. And it just all of a sudden clicks. It just gets all of a sudden, it's like, you know, the eye doctor, is this clear or is that clear? And all of a sudden it's like, aha, I've discovered it. And those aha moments are so fun because you now realize I'm getting better.
For sure. Yeah. No doubt about that. All right. When we come back, we will also dive into what are some things that you got to make sure you're avoiding down these final rounds. What are some of the nuisances that we have encountered on the golf course this year? We'll discuss all that and more when we come back. This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course. But before we hit the break, let's get a President's Cup update from Kevin Zipak.
Thank you, Tyler. All the foursomes have been completed today for Scottie Scheffler and Russell Henley beat Hideki Matsuyama and Sungjae Im 3-2. Brian Harman and Max Homa came up short. They were defeated by Taylor Pendrith and Adam Scott, 2-up. Colin Morikawa and Sam Burns, 1-up, winners over Corey Connors and Mackenzie Hughes, and Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele, 1-up, winners over Sunwoo Kim and Tom Kim. More of the CDGA Golf Show coming up next on ESPN 1000.
Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Tour Edge, Tyler Aki, and Mike Gilligan talking golf with you. We'll go around the CDGA in just a little bit, tell you all the great things happening there that you can take advantage of for the rest of the golfing season. But, Mike, there's probably only a handful of rounds left for many in the remainder of this 2024 golf season. And I feel like overall, granted, you've played far more rounds than I have this year, but I feel like overall, the first couple years out of COVID, it was tough from, I guess, an etiquette standpoint, but just like when you introduce that many new players to the game, there are plenty of nuisances on the course. I feel like as a golfing society now, we have improved significantly on that, and the way that we've gone about improving the hole-to-hole just kind of experience on golf courses has gotten better since COVID, but there still are some nuisances that we'll stumble into from time to time on the golf course. But overall, what have been some of your pet peeves that you've seen on the course this year?
Well, I could sum up my number one in two words. Slow play.
Yeah.
And there are an infinite number of reasons that contribute to slow play. But really what gets my goat is when the starters and the rangers are not doing anything. They're there. They're driving around in their carts, but they're not saying anything to anybody.
I've got a question for you, too, on that. Yeah. And maybe it's just me and I haven't just seen enough this year. But from your experience, have you noticed a particularly low number of rangers out on the course this year? I feel like I can count on one hand how many rangers I've seen on the course this year.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as a matter of cost cutting, I think there's a lot of clubs that have just established the philosophy, because I've actually heard operators say this. There's nothing you can do about it. So why burn labor dollars trying to manage something that it only takes one group? And while that's true, if you have a good ranger, they're invaluable. But if you just have a warm body driving around in a cart, save the money then. But a true ranger doing their job and really motivating everyone to keep pace in a fun customer service way, there's a fun way to be a ranger. You don't have to be the bad guy. And you can do nothing but update everybody as to, hey, there is a group, it's cut, but here's what I'm doing. That's all people want to hear, that they're working on it and they've identified the problem. So the future is looking bright for us for the next, you know, whatever holes we have left. But slow play is number one for me. But that also can also start when people select the wrong tee. And I see this happen time and time again. In fact, when I was just at Arcadia Bluffs, I watched it right in front of me. These guys were talking about what they wanted to play, which tees, and I'm looking at their clubs. I can tell that they're not tour players by any stretch of the imagination. Mm-hmm. They have game improvement irons in their bag, and yet they're talking about going all the way to the back and we're not going to the back. We're only going to play the blues. These guys needed to be up at the whites. But what did they do? They wanted to go to the back so they could tell all their buddies that they got their rear ends handed to them. And that's what they did. But guess what? It took them over 5 hours and 10 minutes to play the round. Geez. And they backed up the golf course. And so it was a miserable experience for us. Another contributing factor. A lot of people think driving a golf cart is going to speed up your round of golf. Au contraire, if you have poor cart etiquette, and I would say that's the biggest culprit of the new players that I see coming into the game, is they don't know where to park their golf cart when they get up near the green, or let's say they have that 30-yard shot because they were short to the green. What they'll do is they'll leave the cart, you know, 40 yards back, go up, they might chunk it, put it on the green, and then they'll walk all the way back to the cart.
Yeah.
You know, so they don't, and then how they look for golf balls, you know, it's like all the carts go to one area looking for a golf ball. No, split up, go find those, get, you know, and get this thing going. And I see tons of times where the players in front of me would have been better off pulling a cart or pushing a cart and walking to their own ball and not worrying about anyone else, because the moment they put two people in a vehicle and then you start mixing in the alcohol, the radio, and all the rest of it, there's so many distractions. Unfortunately, golf becomes the one thing that doesn't get the attention it needs, and therefore they become slower players. So I watched some of that, and
I think in general, like, a good fall rule is, don't be afraid to take the push cart out for a fall round, because you get some of these cart path only days and you hit the ball on the other side of the cart path and you don't know what club to grab. You got to look for the ball over there, and those become a mess. And it's honestly not even worth it to have the cart. You are much better off grabbing a push cart or a pull cart there. And I've done it too, and I'm sure you have. Maybe you go nine holes in the golf cart and you realize this is actually slowing me down and it is like messing with my game as well. And after you hit the turn, you exchange the cart for a push cart, and it quickens up the round. You're a little more precise with your shots. You've got all your clubs with you when you step up to your ball. Everything that goes into it, I feel like, certainly helps out to have that push cart during a lot of fall rounds in particular.
Well, and to that point as well, having that push cart also, you know, allows you to focus just on your ball. You don't have to worry about anybody else's.
True,
And I think when you're playing fall golf, generally speaking, the players that are starting to play from now to the end of the year are such golf fanatics that they generally have the etiquette and the speed of play and all of that top of mind. So you should be able to play some pretty quick rounds of golf, because everybody's trying to get in their rounds because sunlight is going to get shorter and shorter and shorter. It's being burnt off of both ends, sunrise and sunset. So everybody seems to get on the same page when the calendar turns to October, especially for some more quicker type of play, but for sure.
Yeah. So that's I would say that was probably, and it's one of those things you sort of learn too. Like if you are getting a cart path only round, you're probably better off just going with the push cart from go.
100%. Because, you know, in fact, it's funny you bring this up. When we were at, you know, Geneva National for the Ryder Cup, there was a time that we were cart path only, especially in the practice round. It was all day. And then during the matches, it was certain holes because they had some renovation work done. So certain holes we were kept to the cart path. I can't tell you how many times Team Wisconsin guys were taking their clubs off the golf cart and just walking, because to your point, they don't know how far, which club, what the wind, what's the lie, you know, so all of that contributes to which club you're going to pull, and chances are you don't want to have to make that walk twice. So a lot of people were unstrapping the golf bag, and to your point, they'd have probably been better off just not putting it back on the cart.
Right. I think, part of it, too, is especially if you go to some of these places that have the carts with all the GPS technology in them, and you are used to relying on that. But if you do have your old handy-dandy rangefinder with you, too, you're better off just using that, walking up, approaching your ball, and kind of playing in that old school where you don't know the distances as much, or like I know a lot of people use like the apps that have the GPSs on them. Those work well, I think, around this time of year if you are opting out of the cart, because you get a feel for where you are on the golf course. You know about the distance that you drive. You know about the distance that you are from the tee box. Everything that goes into that, I feel like, certainly helps out around this time of year.
It does, and I'll tell you the other thing. The technology in these golf carts now with this GPS is unreal. We, at Geneva National, you could see exactly where your cart is driving on the grid, so it knows the exact yardage from where you are to wherever they cut the hole. It's not just to the middle. It's right where they actually cut the hole. Mm-hmm. So you have now the ability to just drive up, look at the screen, and you can touch it. So if I hit a tee shot to here, or what do I need to cover this, or could I reach that? And you just touch it, and it tells you exactly to the yard what it is to either make it to the water or to stay short, you know, and all that good stuff. So if done right, the technology's there to help speed yourself up. But again, if you don't have the ability to bring your cart there, you're better off with a rangefinder in your hand, the old-fashioned way, and hoof it.
Yep, no doubt about that. All right, when we come back, we will go around the CDGA and wrap up the show. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Thank you to Kevin Zipak for producing today's show. This segment has been brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. And Mike, I cannot believe we are at the end of yet another season of the CDGA Golf Show here. And it has been a fun ride. There has been lots of golf along the way. An injury for me that maybe cut into how much golf you and I would have liked to play together this year. But one of my fondest memories from this summer will be us winning the birdie challenge that we did for charity. And what do we have, 25 birdies, something crazy like that. Yeah, we were on fire. You stuck it close. I knocked them in, and we were just a great team out there on the Sunshine Course. So it's been a wonderful year of golf for us.
It really has, Tyler. And well, first and foremost, Tyler, I want to say thank you to you for being the ultimate first-class professional that you are. For me, you make this such an amazing experience, and I will continue to admire your ascension of your career and look forward to the day when I can see you on the national scene and say proudly that I worked with him back when we were both much younger. But truly, thank you for making it so fun and inviting for me to join you each and every week. And I'd also like to thank a few other people before we sign off. First and foremost, to the executive leadership at the CDGA and ESPN for believing in this concept. Specifically at ESPN, Keith Williams and Danny Zetterman to be the visionaries and to share in the excitement of our crazy idea. And to our executive director, Robert Marchione, for having the courage to trust us with a brand he spent 30-plus years creating. My goal was simple with this radio show, to build on what he started, and I think we accomplished that. And lastly, I want to thank you, the listeners, as well as our 115,000 CDGA members. It's amazing to think about the fact that when we ended in 2023 and started this season at the Chicago Golf Show, we were at 106,000 members. Combine that with the fact that ESPN is reporting that our 9 to 11 time slot grew 15% over the course of the year. The growth and support has been nothing but short of amazing. So I am honored and grateful for your listening ears each Saturday morning. And please know, without you, there is no us. Thank you for an incredible season, and I look forward to seeing and chatting again beginning at the Chicago Golf Show at the Rosemont Convention Center on March 1st, 2025. And with that being said, be good and be good to one another. So long, everyone.
Yeah, it's been a heck of a year. I mean, it feels like just yesterday that we were at the CD or that the Chicago Golf Show out in Rosemont trying the long putt with Robbie Gold. I mean, it was such a fun time there. Jay Stocky, Nick Anderson, everyone that was out there. It was fun to interact with y'all and stuff like that. So we will see you again next year. Cannot wait for it. Real quick before we do officially sign off, Mike. Is there anything, what do we have going on around the CDGA, and how can people get involved with the CDGA for next golf season when we are in the full swing of things and have the full season ahead of us?
Well, if you have been a loyal listener and want to become a part of that CDGA membership family, as well as take advantage of the variety of benefits that we've been discussing throughout the entire year, you simply go to cdga.org and sign up. There is no better time to sign up for membership than today. It's a 12-month membership no matter when you do it. Give it to a loved one for Christmas. It's an ideal Christmas gift. So for less than what it costs to buy a dozen Pro V1s, you can enjoy a membership that pays you back, or it pays for itself.
Absolutely. All right, that's going to do it for us. This segment brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. We will talk to all of you next year, and enjoy the rest of the golfing season.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.